Hello and welcome to the Arena Sports Show. My name is Chloe Grace Mpanza. Alongside me is football commentator Sizwe Mabena, sports journalist Mahlatsin Phahlele, and we are reunited and
feeling so good.
My goodness, my boyfriend is terrible. Some man at least it's in between the two of you guys. But it's good to have you guys back together. How are you guys doing?
Good. It's nice to be back.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the one who was not here the last time.
Yeah, and then
the
when he
time,
was here,
Victor forgot to give me a yellow card. I was suspended. I'm back now.
You've served your suspension. But a lot has been happening in the world of sports, and of course, on dos tres, Hala Madrid top stories on the flip side.
South African football is mourning the passing of former Bafana Bafana and Mamelodi Sundowns coach Stanley Skrima Shabalala, who passed away on Thursday at the age of 75. The legendary Shabalala, who was a respected coach, scout and administrator and worked at Orlando Pirates until his death, had been recovering after he was attacked and shot by burglars at his home in March. He was generally known as Brostan. Salman Murat will take over the Springbok captaincy for the first time when he leads a squad featuring seven uncapped players during the once-off test against Portugal in the final match of the incoming series in Bloemfontein on Saturday. Springbok coach Rassie Erasmus included all seven of the uncapped players in his training squad for the historic test, which will also be the first time the Boks have been refereed by a woman, with Scotland's Holly Davidson taking the whistle. And finally, story number uno, dos, tres, France forward Kylian Mbappe said this week that he was convinced he would one day play for Spanish giants Real Madrid, that he began taking Spanish classes whilst at school. "Since I was a child, I knew my destiny was to play for Real Madrid," said the 2018 World Cup winner at the Bernabeu Stadium, which was packed with fans, many of them wearing replica shirts with his name.
We now move over to one of my favorite features on the show, Star of the Week, Mahlatsin Phahlele. Who has impressed you in the past few days?
I'm going to Europe.
Oh, okay. All right.
You know, I only do champions.
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh.
You must give me the trophy.
You like the champagne, hey?
I want the champagne and the trophy. Eh? With no trophy, we are not talking. I'm going with Spain.
Nice.
I guess for a simple reason. Champions of Europe. They came into this tournament, not a lot of people thinking that they'll do what they've done. I personally, a few weeks ago, I said Germany will win this thing, but I was proved wrong. So yeah, my start of the week is Spain. And also, I'll not be doing justice if I don't mention Rodri,
yeah,
the player of the tournament, and a certain 17-year-old Lamar.
100%. And of course, then we say, vamos España. Sizwe Mabena, your start of the week.
My star of the week this time is Coach Relani. Not that he's won anything of late, or not that he hasn't won. He's obviously been a winner at the end of the season, but more so for his move to Wydad. I had a lengthy conversation with Peter Musimani a couple of weeks ago, and he was saying he wishes more South African coaches and players would get out of the comfort zone of being or playing in South Africa, or coaching or working in South Africa, and get out there to North Africa, into difficult places, in order to grow as football coaches or players. And for Coach Rulani here, I think he's following in the footsteps of Coach Pizzo and growing as a person. He still has a long career ahead of him.
Yeah.
Big step. And also leading the way for coaches and opening doors for South African coaches going forward on the continent.
Sure.
So all the best to him, and congratulations on his big move. Yeah. And while we're at it, Coach, I mean, I almost said Coach.
I guess I could be a coach in my next
coach
life.
Who's your star of the week?
I'm glad you asked, Sizwe Mabena. And well, actually, my star of the week has worked well with Rulani Mokoena. Good relationship that they have. Percy Tau is my star of the week. He's finally back after, of course, that hamstring injury that he suffered while he was here with Bafana Bafana, and he's back to scoring ways, which is absolutely impeccable. That smile, that's exactly what you want to see from Dawu. And of course, making sure that Al Ahly as well are back into contending for the league, because that's exactly what they want to do. They always want to win. And I guess now the talks of him perhaps leaving Al Ahly, they will quiet down now because he's got his scoring boots back on, and that's exactly what we love to see from, of course, our fellow South Africans. We then move over to, of course, Mabena, you spoke about this earlier on in terms of from your top stories,
yep,
that we've unfortunately lost a giant, we've lost a hero, a legend in South Africa. And I want to start with you, you know, as to What did Brastan Stanley Shabalala mean to you?
Well, from growing up as a youngster, I mean, sitting around my parents and uncles and family members that were older when I was a kid, you'd always hear of Stan and his generation of football administrators or coaches, because he did a lot behind the scenes. He wasn't just a coach, but a man who contributed so much to South African football, discovered a lot of players, the likes of Hepichele, and so on. And also, whilst not coaching, still had a lot to do with the culture of South African football.
For sure.
Lately, we've lost Bri Alex, we've lost Brastan, and of that generation of administrator, we're beginning to evolve beyond them now. And soon we'll include the likes of Ivan Khoza and Kaiser Motaung. And I mean, with time, we'll evolve beyond that generation of administrator. And they'll be missed. They played a lot in ensuring South African football 100%. Stayed up there, especially in the times when we weren't in the international stage and keeping us entertained and so on. So these are men that have done huge, huge work for South African football.
What about you, Influencer? I mean, you've had, you know, your also your own encounters with the man, and he was always lively, because even when you talk to people that knew him personally, they're like, my goodness, the stories and how he just spoke. Prestan was a true gentleman.
Yeah, it's obviously sad that he's passed away and all that. But Brastan is somebody who could have used him as an encyclopedia of football in South Africa, as a player. A clip resurfaced recently. He was quite a skillful player in his day until he broke his leg. A good coach. Coach Trott always speaks about the story of where this Shushan piano comes from.
I made it short.
He went to Italy to go watch a similar training. He obviously couldn't understand Italian, so he could hear the coach say, Arrabbiano, Arrabbiano. But he didn't understand what they were saying. And then when he came back, so he said, when this guy was talking piano, the players will come down and, you know, be easy on the ball. And then he said, no, man, this is the best way to play football. When he came back to South Africa, the Sundowns players, he will say piano, and then they will easy on the ball and start playing. That's where this old piano Shushan thing comes from. He's the one who brought it here to teach the players of how to play football. Be easy, don't rush and make wrong decisions, and take your time and play football the right way. And that's why the Sundowns team that he coached during those days was a very, very good Sundowns team. I used to go to Mamelodi as a very, very young boy with my uncle to go watch those players, and then obviously in the subsequent year. So, fondly missed, a man who was always cracking jokes. Whenever he was, people were laughing. He will be remembered that way. I think when you know, the obituaries return, he will be on the right side of this, definitely. A good man of football.
100%. I remember a few conversations that I've had, of course, with former Orlando Pirates players, saying that when you got to Orlando Pirates, he made you understand that it's an institution, where he would be like, hey boy, this is a big club, eh? You have to do things a bit different. So he was definitely a funny guy, Matlatsi Mphetlele, to allude to that. But let's find out what Trott Moloto has to say, of course, in remembering Brastan.
Taught me almost everything in football. And that's why when international football, South Africa, allow international football. There were some couple incidents that stages that he went through. But I was there because I was there as assistant. And he trusted me because I was a teacher by profession. So if not, it don't only anything Ergasi Dientro, Tisheregasi Dientro.
Opras Krima Shabalala, he was a father to me. He was one of the person that spotted me at the early age, as a young boy. He contributed to a lot of things in my life in terms of improving my life in football and how to handle myself in terms of a professional player. He was a mentor to me. He was a father. He's one person that even if I want to call and get advice about football, he will take his time and talk about football as well. And Tina's Slahlekelwe, njengama football fans, football people, may his soul rest in peace, and condolences to the family and Orlando Pirate as well.
We are now joined by two-time league champion and, of course, the founder of Boss Yamboka. Willard Katsanda joins us now. Willard, thank you so much for joining us. The drip is dripping, as we can tell. Everybody is holding a piece of it.
Yeah.
It looks great. Business doing good?
I've got my winter stuff.
You got your winter stuff.
No, thank you very much for having me here at Arena Sports Show. I really appreciate it.
We appreciate it. Talk to us about the drip and, of course, how the business is going, essentially.
Obviously, you know, during my playing days, you know, as a professional footballer, I need to look good. You know, even Mr. Obena knows that I you've been following me with my drip.
Yeah.
And you know that we love fashion. So I thought, no, let me just get in myself in that line. So that's where I introduced Boss Yamboka. So it's a combination. When I was playing, I was a lion in the midfield. I was the boss. I feel like I'm in charge.
For
so
sure.
I thought, no, let me make it boss of the country. So Yamboka means country. So boss of the country. I was boss of the midfield. Then I turned into boss of the country.
You know what I find interesting, Willard, is that back in your playing days, yeah, you were always mostly shirtless and you were never covered up. But now in your old age, you seem pretty much covered up.
Like I said, you know, it's maturity as you grow up. You see that these are the things you have. It's a transition.
Yeah. The Cassava Cup 2015 in Rustenburg.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Cold. It was cold. Rustenburg is not really that cold during winter, but that winter was cold.
Uh-huh.
Willis' shirt was buttoned down to here, then his chest was out. Looking stylish. Looking stylish.
Yeah,
dripping, but we're thinking, wow, yeah, this guy's cold. It must be cold. But the six-pack was out as well. He was still in shape.
So back in 2015, it's not a now thing. So you've always been doing it. No, but that's great. Let's then talk about, you know, in terms of your progression, maturity, right? There's a player that I think we're all fond of, Kama Billiard. He's left South Africa, but he's doing well in Yada. And what I find interesting about Yada is the fact that when you go back after they got promotion in 2010, they were always in the relegation battle zone. But now things are a bit different. Yes, there's Kama Billiard, there's Evans Rusike as well. Talk to us about the influence Kama is having at Yada.
Yeah, of course, you know, when you talk about Kama Billiard, you never doubt his quality. You know, I think it was a good addition for the team and also for the league, because even a lot of people here in South Africa, they start looking at the Zimbabwean league to see what's exactly happening there. And though some people were not happy with that move, but at the same time, you know, if you're a player who hit a rock bottom in terms of injury, because if you look into Kama, he had a closer to a year without kicking a ball, so a bit rust, then you need to start to basics again to regain your form. I think he's done it well, and he also managed to deal with the psychological part of it, because a lot of people saying a lot of stuff. But if you could see him now, I think he's at a better position, whereby even the reports coming from back home that he's scoring almost every week, so it means a good thing. And he's our Cristiano Ronaldo moving from England to Saudi Arabia, so he also changed the league that side. That's why it's so competitive. That's why Mr. Mabene are talking about loss of staff. There's a 18,000 this multi, because everybody's now interested. Everybody's now interested with that league because of that. If it's not, this thing has been happening, but now we have something to look into, like, oh wow, okay, it's happening.
Also, with many of your stars over the years, many local football fans never get to really see them in their prime. They only see them with the national team or have to track them playing overseas, because lots of your players get exported early and young in their careers. How nice is it to have someone who's still a star, still a star quality, but playing now in front of the Zimbabwean fans at home to add to the quality of the local league?
Yeah, for me, I saw it as a plus on our side, because if you look into our way, the way we were exporting players from Zim to South Africa, the ratio has been down. But when Kama goes back and play in our domestic league, it brings a little bit of a freshness. Even the younger ones, they get inspired, like, oh, okay, this is the guy who played for Chiefs. This is the guy who won a player of the season in South Africa, and he's telling me, he's encouraging. The fact that he's inside the field, it also allow the next generation to pull up their socks. Also, the fans coming to the stadium, you could see even whenever the Yada is playing, the attendance is good. So for me, I think it's a good plus for our local league actually to come up there. We are not there yet, but at least we revived.
Yeah.
You understand?
For sure. to pick up on that, yeah, you mentioned the Muti part, and I want to find out from you in terms of sports science in the league and evolution. And I asked this because someone that was close, of course, to Dynamos was saying that the biggest problem that they see is the lack of, you know, moving with the times and investing in the right things. Because we do know that Dynamos, essentially the players, were complaining that they haven't been paid, and now you're not paid, but the Muti guy is paid. So talk to us about, according to reports.
According to reports, yes.
But talk to us about that evolution in Zimbabwe.
For me, you know, Muti is everywhere in Africa, you know. But we don't know how much is this information, you know. But if this information is accurate, I don't think it's good for players. But at the end of the day, Muti, he has to give us players to go and play for us to win, you know. So you need, the most important thing in football is football players.
Yeah.
Don't make no mistake, you understand? This other chairman or whatever, it goes down to 11 football players who are going in, and those subs are coming to change the game. So I feel like if it's, that's the 10 Dynamos took, I think it was wrong. But Muti is everywhere, you know. So for them to pay so much money, I think it's wiser to invest in players. Because I think, like, you know, God comes first before everything else. Just invest in players, let them go play, win or lose or draw, let them play, let them train, you know.
Again, focusing on Zim football, sometime on the international stage, we had to deal without Zim, which for me is a big loss in Southern Africa when you think COSAFA, and also the potential Zim has on the international stage. I'm talking on the African continent. Now Zim is back. We saw them at the COSAFA out in Trebekha in Port Elizabeth. Had a great return in the opening two matches, arguably the most entertaining games in the group stages. Yes, didn't get out the group stages, but the most entertaining and also the best fans. The Zim matches at the most liveliest fans and so on. Let's talk about the return of Zim and where you think Zim belongs on the international stage. Do you think over the years, with all the talent you've had, you've underperformed somewhat?
I agree with you, Mr. Benner. We've underperformed, especially the international. Especially if you look into before we get the ban, I think we qualified the three consecutive AFCON. You know, and you're still not even going beyond group stages. For us, for me, personal, I feel like we failed. We failed ourselves, we failed the country, because we cannot just be being celebrated or qualified, but still going to go and play three games, then you come back home. I feel like with the squad we have, with the quality we do have, I feel like at the same time, the association, they always let us down in terms of preparation. Because, you know, preparation is not an overnight thing. It's a process whereby you know that we qualify today in July, and the tournament is next year, January. We have 6 months.
Yeah.
The preparation starts now. What you're going to, not only 7 days before the team departs for the major tournament, and you expect miracles, you know. So psychologically, it also kills us there. So that's why I say, if we can head a little bit of a good stability in terms of our association, trust me, with the quality we have and the heart, We love our country. We always play for our country, for our people, because we grew up knowing that I need to represent my national team, you know. And coming to COSAFA recently, we are back on the fold and the international fold. Like I said earlier, billiard involvement in the local league, it has also lightened up everything. Because if you could see the COSAFA players, all of them, they are playing domestically.
Yes. Yeah.
So you can see where we are. So can our association also help us to head the right direction? Not like every time we dismantle, we start again. Because of certain people cannot just do the right things. Because me and you we're in this taxi going from, they call it, Bree to Santini in the taxi. You're the president of association. You know nothing about football. Football is a passion. We need a little bit of a little direction. We try to gonna go far, because we cannot be qualifying for AFCON. We need to qualify for World Cup, but how can we do that? Yet you are not there.
As players,
not booking the flights.
Yeah.
as players, over the years, when you think of how many times you guys have a top goal scorer here in the South African PSL, your contribution to the South African PSL League, as players, do you guys look at our players and think, if things are going well in Zone football administration-wise, we could chow South Africa regularly? Do you guys believe that?
Yeah, we took it personal. When if South Africa beat us, obviously, it's not like we gave them the game so easily, because it hurts our our ego inside. Because now I play South Africa tomorrow, I'm going to training, I'm facing my teammate I played against yesterday. Because that ego, like, Asia should have grabbed this person, you know, we beat them. So, you know, it's painful. You know, that's why I say, looking at Bafana Bafana, their setup, if you can actually, Zim Warriors, if you could have a quota of the administration they got, the proper preparation, the field, the traveling arrangement, trust me, we'll be talking about, oh, Zim, we've went 2-3 World Cups. You're talking about, can you go outside the group stages of World Cup? Because everything is there, you know. For us, we are limited. We just love our country. Sometimes we just play for thank you. We'll see you again, you know. But it's painful because it goes and haunts us like, Ash, we are that generation who failed. We should have done better. But it's beyond our control. If we can have a better administration, we're going to be better.
Definitely will be better. You mentioned preparation, and we do know that currently we've got preseason going on. A lot of teams are finally back. You've got Mamelodi Sundowns, who are in Austria, London Pirates in Spain, Kaizer Chiefs, they are in Turkey. So now, Willard, when you look into this team, starting with Kaizer Chiefs, preparing for the new season, they've got a new coach, and we're talking about, you know, expectations going into that. One thing, though, is that a lot of people believe that they are away from the noise as the Kaizer Chiefs players, just to, you know, get themselves together. Having played for Kaizer Chiefs, having captained, you know, Kaizer Chiefs, you know about the pressure and how, you know, fans can be vocal. Do you think that going away for Turkey, one, is it good, you know, just to get the break from South Africa?
You started with Kaizer Chiefs because I'm from Kaizer Chiefs.
Of course.
No, I'm joking. On a serious note, I feel like the management did something better. For a change. Why? Because, you know, doing preseason around here, you still find those angry fans who actually reminded you how much the team has been disappointing players. So going into take 18 days, 20 days, three weeks, something like that, you start seeing the game differently, and you're playing top players. The football is still the same, but the way it's being played is quite different. So can you adapt something there and come and use it in the domestic league, and also to wake up without somebody going to the petrol station to say, "Ay, baba, where's the visa?" Something different. So now you wake up, going breakfast, going to the gym, you come and relax your uniform. The only thing you're gonna hear those kind of things if you now open up your eyes, like going to your social media. Your social media.
It finds you everywhere.
It made us retire quick. So, for me, I feel like it was a good call for the team. When they come now, we see what they're going, when they're cooking in Turkey next week when they play the Toyota Cup. I think the management needs to get some kudos about that. They did a fantastic job, so that those 3 weeks they build a team cohesion, team spirit, everything. They understand each other, and also the new technical team is good for them as well.
But Bosi Mboka, I think the fact that you are right, I think Chiefs have done the right thing. There's a new coach, new technical team. There must be a good vibe around the place. But there will be expectation. You know, how far do you think they can go this season?
For me, obviously, being in the Kaizer Chiefs setup, there's always expectations of winning things, you know. So for the new technical team coming on board, and They injected some new fresh air. You know, a lot of people were looking at the coach's history. He's a serial winner. You know, and Kaizer Chiefs, obviously, we are expecting a trophy. We're expecting something this season. But for us as Kaizer Chiefs fans, we need to be a little bit patient. You know, give the coach 2-3-4 transfer windows, so that he builds something for him. For now, he's going to take over from the players who were there last year. And if you look at the coach, he had to finish up the season wherever he was. He didn't have enough time to see, this is what I need to fix this. Because trust me, as a coach, you come, and if we can give him 4 transfer windows, which is now, January, and next year, June, and January again, then you can see how far we are. And for now, if you can win a trophy, let's try to go and being realistic. If you go and play and win a trophy, your black label, because we're starting in a discomfort without one trophy, MTN. Yeah. So we need to go for black label or Nedbank. The league, can we get into top 8? Can we be there? Then we can see, as I said, 4 transfer windows. When the coach has do have everything he really wants. We need to be patient with, not like 6 months down the line, Mr. Mabeno, Mr. Makahambi.
That's the thing. When people hear you say four transfer windows, some are thinking 4 years.
No,
but you actually mean 2 years.
Yeah. 2 years.
Because
yes.
It's transfer window every 6 months or so on. And firstly, and also, I think people need to understand there's the arrival, assessing your players, getting your players to understand you, making decisions on whether Kune stays or not. I think those are the decisions that have to be made by the technical team.
And they've not signed.
And something you said that was important, that maybe needs to be reiterated now when we're speaking off air, about other teams have been building. Skukune have been building. Pirates have been building. And so many other teams. Chiefs are starting from way behind and catching up. Mm. So expectation and the fans and having to understand the reality of the sport is important, is it not?
Yeah, I agree with you, Mr. Benner, because, you know, if you look into Sundowns' continuity, Pirates' continuity, everybody, as we have a new technical team, who also maybe half of the players or quarter of players, they're not going to fit in his system philosophy. Mm-hmm. You know, we all know that. Mm-hmm. So for us to ask for too much and he is only having one transfer window, it's not gonna make justice, let's be honest. So we feel like he needs support. Like the club has been showing him support by bringing his own technical team. Mm. Can we do that with the players? Can we be patient with him for, like I said, four transfer win? Then we can see how it is. Klopp built that dominant Liverpool. He had, I think, six transfer windows for him to compete and go and win the Champions League. For the past 5 years, Liverpool were competitive because they believed in him. Mm. Let's be hammered, games. It's normal, but can we see where he's going with this project? Because this project is big. It needs a lot of patience. Yeah. Like where Sundowns is, everybody's enjoying them. Like now, the Sundowns won at the star. No. All the players are not there anymore, but Sundowns is still competitive. You know, it's because of continuity. You know, they have a good structure. Can we also build that? Not like 1, 2, 3, 4 today. Ah, no, we lost. Go. No, we're starting again. For this new technical team which is there, it starts with us legends. When we're sitting in this kind of platform, can we be supportive for this team? Mm. Can we be have a constructive criticism? Let's not just because I'm not happy with this. Then we hit the neck and we start again from the toes again. We need to build. The coach, even if you can see where he's going, you know, can we go January and review where he's going? And the only thing I'm going to say to the coach, can he have a short-term goal, which is try to win us a trophy? You know, to rub the cabinet and start putting something. Then the league, can you get us that far, you know? Because he's starting. But when after four transfer windows, now we're looking like, hey, where are you going? Yeah. You understand? Then it's more fair now, you know?
So talk to us about the quality of players. And the reason I ask this is because you've also experienced this, where you just mentioned that you were retired because of social media, right? Where now players, I mean, fans are saying, no, Nkomo, Katsane can't play no more. So when you look into Kaizer Chiefs last season, this season we'll understand because there's still, of course, that plan that you talk about. But last season, the quality of players, do you believe, in your honest opinion, that quality was had at Kaizer Chiefs?
Yeah, the quality is there. Make no mistake. Yes, of course, in every season you have to boost 2, 3, 4. It's normal. But the character of a player. Sometimes, look, the last game we were talking about, the last time we won the league at Chiefs, it was 2015.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you know that we won 11 games 1-0? We were not the best. We knew that we need set play. 1-0 and defended well.
Yeah.
So it tells character. Why? Mm-hmm. Because we had international players. Your Shabazz, they played World Cup. Your Morgan Gold, your Masilela played in La League. So we know that sometimes the technology has improved the game. Mm-hmm. We can sit and analyze, but nobody's going to analyze proper, exactly the set pieces.
Yeah.
We are deciding matches all around the world. You know, even Euros have seen it. So the character to say, you know, sometimes you need to win ugly. But some Kaizer Chiefs supporters, they need to win.
Mm.
And even if you win, they still complain. Mm. Like, hey, you didn't play well. So what does that mean? Sometimes you need the character to take the matters in your hands. Like, can we have a corner kick? Can you have a free kick like what we just did with the last trophy we won with Chiefs, which is MTN8.
Mm. Mm.
We sat 2 weeks with Baxter in the meeting room. Every time, every morning, it has become boring, but it was effective. We see one player for Pirates was always delaying to come out to clear the line and set pieces. Then we said, here, that's where our money is. We trained here. Then Libisi please, can you dribble from the side, Mandla Masango on the wing? Libisi dribble, defender trips him. They say, we look at the boxer. Boxer says, relax. This is the time. You know, then that player never disappointed us. The game was decided by that. We won 1-0. Mashama had scored. Then we defended. So it tells you character of the players. Can you do the unsexy things to win something? So we need a character in the current Kaizer Chiefs players. I'm sure the coach, because of his history around the African continent, playing, maybe he's going to install that so that sometimes games are won ugly. You know, not like this. Yes, but time we play your best game, you can smash somebody. But if you're tough, you're struggling, can you get that corner kick? Can you just attack once, then you get a result?
Now, Pirates, you said they're settled and stuff, and they're also doing their stuff for overseas. What do you expect from Pirates?
As much as I don't like them, eh?
Don't hide it.
If I give you a diplomatic answer, that's I'm Chiefs. Yeah, even if you sit with these Pirates people, they'll tell you that I don't like Chiefs. You know, for whatever reason. As much as I don't like them, but you have to see the good thing about them. It's a continuity. You remember, the last two seasons they've been winning trophies. So this is, trust me, in the back of their mind, they're going for the right trophy, which is the league. You know, if you could see, that's why they even went to Spain. I watched their two games, Paris looking decent. You know, you understand? They could see that it's a continuity. It's a project, like I said. This is the time they're getting the third season with their coach. The players who are there, they're understanding the game. Even the new players, the addition, the players who are experienced with the coach, they're going to say, our coach wants this and this and this in this certain position. Sure. So for Pirates, trust me, they're going to be up there to compete for the league because it's a continuity and they've been winning trophies. You know, the only thing they're thinking about, can we challenge Sundowns? Can we be there? So it's for them, they're up there to compete. You understand? And also the additions, they are looking good and they had a good space, you know, to perform.
Now, what do you make of, when you look at Pirates, when you look at Sundowns as well, the importance of players that are playing just beyond just PSL? That are having experience in the Champions League, experience in the CAF Confederations Cup, and bringing it to the PSL, and also experience in the national team, which is where someone could argue some of these players, like maybe some of these teams, including Stellies, have young players now that are getting experience beyond PSL to bring back into the league to compete against teams like Chiefs, and maybe make it life difficult for Chiefs when you look at how many players they have in the national team and so on.
Yeah, you know, you could see that, playing Africa, it helps you when you come to domestic league. Sundowns, the way they played, they don't panic. You know, you could see that they'll get their goal because of the experience. You know, you go into Africa, we went, when we were also playing with Chiefs in Africa, you could see the game is different. So if you absorb there and you come in, you edit in domestic league, you know, those Sundowns players, they're playing in Champions League, they come and do well in the AFCON, you could see. You know, it tells you the level of the football they are playing, and also they are bringing good and expensive experience in DStv Premiership. The rest, can we cope? You know, so can we catch up so that our league can continuously improving, you know, so we have got those kind of competitive games, the league becomes interesting, and also the national team when it's on. Even those from other African countries playing in DStv Premiership, they're going to benefit out of the competitiveness inside the DStv Premiership. So I feel like also having an international players in your team helps a lot in terms of adaptation, in terms of the tactics. Sometimes, like I said, with our winning 11 games, 1-0, it's about, we had international players who just get information without even running through it at training. They just say, let's apply A, B, C, D. That's what exactly Sundowns is doing, because those players are international. So it takes us a longer time for us to catch it. So for us as Chiefs, can we, like I said, have a decent season, make it to Confed? Can you push big numbers into Bafana, so that they're going to experience that in Africa as well?
Now, the dynamic of Sundowns and losing coach Ulani, you know, do you think that will maybe be a setback for them in a way? Obviously, with due respect to Mangobe and Plastic.
No, I would say in a way, because if I to tell you how I've been following this thing, a lot of players were actually
attached to the coach Rolani, and they were dying for him. They have that special bond. Mm. So my question is, are they still stuck into that, or are they moved on? And I know moving on takes time. Mm. So that's why I'm saying psychologically it might play against them, and also the upcoming group which you want to catch up Sundowns, this is the right time to catch up. And obviously they are not they are familiar with the new coaches, with Coach Steve and Coach Mangoba, but still the same players, it's a continuity. Look at what, when Baxter left us, we went to two finals and we finished third. You understand? The continuity is still there. So it's they're going to do have a good season as usual, because these are international players. The majority of players are coached by the national team coach. You know, they're still applying the same thing. But the only thing psychologically, did they accept to say the coach Rolani is no more anymore, is moved on. So can they also move on? But for us, you know, like I said, us as Chiefs, this is the time to take those giant, massive steps to getting closer to them.
On that note, let's find out what the SAFA president, Danny Yordan, has to say about Rolani Mokoena moving over to Wydad Casablanca.
We have seen in the last 3 years that the African continent is showing greater interest in the quality of South African coaches. Not just men, women also. We've lost two of our best women coaches. Now with Uganda, and we will have to produce more, and we don't hope the drain will continue. We must try and keep our coaches, give them the opportunity and support them, but those things are out out of our hands. That's a competitive market in club football, and I'm sure that that temptation will always be there. As offers made and offers being considered by coaches. But we want to wish Rolani all the best. We hope for great success. He is going to a big club, and we can just hope that our coaches will do us proud on the African continent.
We certainly hope that they will do us proud. We continue the conversation, Willard, and we look into the rest of the DStv Premiership League in terms of the other teams. You mentioned Sekhukhune, but there's also Cape Town City. And I've been really impressed by the signings that they've made during the transfer market. The likes of Hashim Domingo joins them. Kamakhelo Mokojo also joins them. Fortune Makaringa is also on that list. Talk to us about your thoughts on Cape Town City and, of course, what we can then expect from them this season.
Yeah, I think they're going to have a good, a decent season again, because look, the players they brought in, and what is Cape Town City, and knowing Manyama is an assistant coach, what he really likes from a playing perspective, because I've played with him, he's a player who really likes to play, and you could see even the players who actually signed for them. They're going to give the bigger boys run for their money, and it's not going to be easy to pick up points in Cape Town, in Cape Town, because they are competitive and they're continuously adding the strength in their team. And they last season they were playing good football, but addition like this, like I said, continuity is going to be difficult for lots of teams also.
What do you think the Western Cape is doing right? Because last season, Stellenbosch was, of course, the team that we all marveled at. So now the additions, and you mentioned City playing well, but now they're going to be stronger. And this is a team that once upon a time actually won the league.
Yeah, because look, it's a continuity, and also to trust your academy. And don't just bring the academy, all of them at the same time, but mix them with the winners who understand the game better, so that they're going to guide the young ones. If you could look at Stellenbosch last year, they've done it well, and they've been selling players. They've been winning the league, said Stellenbosch, without even lifting a trophy, because they've been selling players. And you could see that they're trusting their youth, but they're actually mixing them well with their well-experienced players, so that they're going to be competitive. So I think they're doing it well, and I hope they continue doing it well, and also going to rub into the bigger boys here in Gauteng.
What do you think of those sides, especially the two sides you guys are talking about now, Stellies and Cape Town City, and keeping to their identity ever since we've known of Cape Town City, they've preached a certain style in how they carry themselves, and also preached representing Cape Town and the city of Cape Town in a certain way, but also having a nice identity about their football, which is almost fresh, something fresh in the South African football scene. I think they've been able to maintain that, but also compete. And it's nice that they have their own identity and are able to compete, as do Stellies, which is completely different. They've got their own identity as well, but they're able to add it to the South African pot, so to speak, and still compete with the very best of them.
But I think our credit must go to those people who work behind the scenes, which is the scouting team. Because if you have a strong scouting team, you'll have a strong team. You understand? So that's why Mr. Committees have been doing for a long, long time. Their scouting team is very strong. That's why you see that they just take somebody from nowhere. But when they compete in DSTV Premiership, they're all competitive. So I feel like the scouting team is the reason behind the team's success. So they just also need to be to get recognition, of which it's unfortunate part they're behind the scenes, but that's where they are very strong.
You mentioned the academies, and when you look into the global space, and we just watched the Euros now, we saw the youngsters take center stage and dominating in terms of football. So now when you bring it back here in South Africa, our youngsters, I mean, you mentioned with Stellenbosch and Cape Town City that not rushing them at all at the same time to ensure that continuity. But do you think we need to trust the youngsters just a bit more in the country to ensure that at 17 years old, at 19 years old, they're playing for Bafana Bafana?
Yes, I'll say that, because if you remember when I was still at Ajax, it's 2010. Mm. You know, if you are to look at that squad, we were having 19 years, 20 years, 18 years, and we were competing with the big boys, and we almost won the league. That's how Mr. Comet is. That's why I say he believes in their philosophy.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so it's the only team which actually set it up high, because I think they adapted from Holland. To bring it in South Africa, you know, the young players, and they don't treat them as young. They said, you know what, you are big boys, go and compete. But here, we have this kind of saying, like, I know you are 22 hours of fun of man. No, you are not. Mm. Look at Arsenal at the moment. Arsenal, you got your 23-year-old.
An Arsenal fan?
But no, Manchester United. But they are doing it something good. You know, if you're a football person, no matter how much you don't like the other team, but you need to look at the positive side of everything. So that's when, I mean, here in Gauteng, they also need to accept, even in South Africa, like, you know what, let's throw them in the deep end. It goes to academy, how you put your setup properly for them to adapt so that they can go and swim with the big boys when they are young.
Now, here's a question I've got, maybe even for you, Matlats, because we've all been in South African football for a while, African football for a while. Do you think right now, for South African football, we're in a slightly better space? Yes, we're not maybe having as many youngsters in the setup as we'd like, but at least now, compared to 15, 10 years ago, we know of a good 18-year-old South African as something of a prospect, whereas it was hard to find so many as we are now, Openas, Relays, and there's a good number of them now that we know of. 10 years ago, we didn't know of that many 18-year-olds that were talent to look forward to in the future. Do you think we've improved in that regard in South Africa?
Well, I'll start. I think, I've spoken
about this. You're not using them enough yet.
Yeah, I've spoken about this so many times, and you know, some people have felt that maybe I'm a bit harsh on the thing, but I've always maintained that, and I disagreed with Coach Ulanis quite slightly last season with regard to Mabena. I felt you should have played more matches, you should have got more minutes.
Mm-hmm.
You can't tell me that Mabena, who's what, he's 16, 17, to say he's not ready. When is he going to be ready?
But my point is, at least now we know of Mabena.
They are there. Yeah. I mean, for me, I would say, what's the point of having him there but he's not playing? You understand? You know, SuperSport, Sandra Campbell is playing.
Mm-hmm.
Where is he now? He's in Belgium, you know, because he's playing. You have got a few younger players at Cape Town City, at Cape Town Spurs, who are relegated. They were playing.
So and we are improving.
We are improving, but we need to see more. It pains me that you have got a player like Mofokeng at Pirates, Rele. Rele, he has only played 2 minutes of international football. Two. And he's very soon he'll be 20. And if he doesn't leave for Europe this season, there's going to be a big problem. And I'm not saying he's not getting the right coaching at Paris, but he can go to a bigger stage where he can be competitive. Guys who are of the same age as him have already played World Cups and the Euro Championships. When is he going to go to AFCON?
I felt, well, I said it here that last year, that you should have gone to AFCON. What are we waiting for? You have to give young players a chance to play.
Your thoughts on this?
But my question is like, those youngsters, the mentality, they need to be inspired in the Euros with Yamal. I can do it. Because if you can, maybe the coaches are holding back because they are not giving more training. We might say throw him, but maybe they are not giving more. They're still thinking like they are kids. So if they also change their mindset to say, this is exactly where we need you to be. And also I think PSL, especially the big clubs, they need a program to actually tell them when they are 16 to 18, like, you're not a youngster. You need to start to have an elite mindset. Look at your mouth. Take the matters in his hands against France. You turn the game around. You get what I'm saying? Yeah. So that mindset on its own, even if you can see the way he plays with arrogance. It's like he's been there for years, but he's just 24 months. You get what I'm saying? Yeah. Look at Maino. You understand? Yeah, who knew about him 9 months ago? Nobody. But he was pulling strings in a cup final. You understand? Yeah. So you can see that the mindset of it also goes to the academy coaches. Can we teach them like, I know who's so cool? Can we bring that mindset? Can we have more friendly games, especially those FIFA breaks with the senior team? The senior team coaches, can you allow them to have a sort of like a DDC game with the senior team so that they have that great feeling, so that the also senior team coach can see, that they can also have some coaching points.
Just to add there, Mosiamboka, I mean, if you look at Musiala of Germany, look at Bukayo Saka of England, Jude Bellingham, these guys are not 25 as yet. They've already played at a World Cup and at a Euro Championship. And by the time they get to 25 years old, they will be approaching 50 caps for the national team.
No, for
our
sure.
players, where will they be? Nothing.
Sure. Now, that's what I want to ask you about, that Ajax team you were part of. Very young. I remember there was even a point when we at national broadcast as commentators were fighting to go to Cape Town to do the Ajax Cape Town games, because you guys were the most exciting team. One of the most exciting teams to watch, but very young. With Botulani, Bo George, and so on. What was different then in your guys' mindset?
The coach. It was Fope de Haar from Holland. Do you know what, when during preseason, before we kicked start the first game, we were in this meeting room. He says, this season, we need to compete with the big boys of Johannesburg. He never said, you youngsters, he says, we're going to compete with the big boys of Johannesburg. Then he started installing that. Even the way we train, you understand? In the morning, we get to the field. The field is dry. You understand?
Yeah.
Then they start watering it. He's giving us information. The field is wet. Remember, the ball is now moving fast. You're forced to move off so fast. They said, if you are not strong, you can compete by moving the ball fast. You understand? So the mindset was already changing. Well, look at the coach. Where is coming in? And he's also looking at the DDC down there. Reserve down there. Like, what can I take from there?
Yes. Mm.
Which is red. You get what I'm saying? So you could see the only player was high profile was Terry Fontaine.
You understand?
You understand?
Yeah.
But we were competitive. Yes. So that's why I said the coaches also need to install that. Like, don't think like as a teenager, a 16-year-old can't play. You look at him, help him. You know, that's why the coaches are there for. That's why we're so competitive.
And the biggest irony of that team is that the biggest mistake over the season was made by the most senior player.
It was unfortunate. It was unfortunate.
It happened, those things. Because exactly. If that didn't happen, you guys were going to win the league.
Exactly. Yeah. So it was tough for a team. Because Pirates came there, we beat them 3-0. So it was tough for the big boys to come there and pick up points. It was tough because these youngsters, they already know that, no, the coach believes in them.
For
not
sure.
Like every game was good, but sometimes we were tougher. Mm-hmm. But we managed to get the solution and go because he made sure he believes in the youngsters. That's exactly what was there. And you could see even the paycheck for the management. They didn't use bigger paycheck, but what they were getting, you know, was very expensive from us.
Yeah, no, you talk about mentality, and I guess before we wrap it up, let's talk about the mentality of supporters, the mentality of fans. I mean, we're talking off air in terms of that, you know, sometimes we are a little bit harsh in terms of our comments, and after a game, after you lose, in a split second, there will be 1,000 comments saying, but That is absolutely nonsense, right? So talk to us about your experience and perhaps how harsh sometimes we are to players. And do you believe we value our players as much as we should?
I feel like, you know, social media is good, is bad. Because us as football players, we also have families who are there on social media.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to leave my house or go inside the way a kid inside the field says, you know what, I want to make the team lose. I'm trying my level best. Maybe I'm not in the game for that particular day. Mm-hmm. But look at the brighter side. You have a constructive criticism, like what I was saying, Mr. Mabena. And like if you go hard on me, you still need me tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Remember, you already killed me inside. I know that I didn't do well as an individual.
Yeah.
But now you're going and pile the load on top of me. Who's going to take me out of that? So I feel like for me, the supporters, they are not doing justice to the game. You look around the world, some lots of supporters, they are so positive. Celtics, pretty example here in South Africa, we can do it.
Mm-hmm.
Celtic supporters, we immediately Chiefs, they and I think that we lost after 16 games, I lost twice. Mm-hmm. But you smash them daily. Mm-hmm. But you never hear them booing any player. And you could see that, hey, their player is horrible today. But they never, after the game, they sing with them. That
yeah.
A player needs a laugh. At the moment, remember, we need to make decisions in seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Decisions which are going to cost the team or which are going to make the team win. So
yeah.
If I don't get it right, don't kill me. Support me so that I regain my confidence again. I strike again. But supporters, especially now with social media,
mm-hmm.
You know, like it was Katsande, the team loses. 1,000 comments are there in the space of a minute. Like, oh, mm-hmm. me, Magahambi, me, no, what's his reason? Was it like, no, that, nothing is good. You know, said, but me, I'm a village boy. I'm strong.
Yeah, yeah. Sure.
But Tony is not strong.
Yeah.
Mental. Me, I'm a village boy. I can take everything.
For sure.
But the next player, it's so strong. But in his life, there are type of different players. You know, you take your Dumisani Zuma,
mm-hmm.
you attack him with abusive comments. He's not going to come to the party anymore because he's fragile.
Mm.
You talk to me, Katsande, tomorrow you see me, I'm doing the business as usual.
Yes,
you
sir.
So it's a difference. So these supporters, they need to be educated. Not like we can't do it, because Celtics was there to actually be the good reference. We can do it. We can do it. Stick to your team.
Yeah.
Constructive criticism, we need it so that we can say, look in the mirror like, okay, I didn't do well, but I can do better.
Off the cuff quickly, Matlatsi, sorry. Yourself, Kamabiliad, Keegan Dolly, do you think that if the supporters had shown just a bit more love, things could have turned out differently?
But for me, supporters love you.
For, yeah, okay, yes, they loved you, but for the rest.
Okay, uh-huh. No, but I think they were too harsh on them. Remember, they need 11 and another 10 players to play with. Not only, but if you can judge him as an individual and in his position, what is he offering? Then you can, but not like everything is going bad. You
take they put everything in. Yeah.
I don't think it was fair.
Mm. Okay.
For me, I think maybe lastly, something on, a bit on Kune, your friend. He's in a tricky situation as a club now, and also. You are back on the field for the Chiefs legends against the Celtic legends. Are you fit? Are you killing them?
I'm just scared that the coach Nabi might sign me back.
Please don't injure anyone.
No,
you're going in.
Coach Nabi must watch. He might sign me back. That's okay. No, but honestly, that's not. If it's about Kone, it goes down to the individual. He doesn't have anything to prove to South African football, to the world football, because he's been there.
For sure.
You know, it goes to what he really wants is Itumele Nkune inside. If you still want to play, continue.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to retire, still you can retire. At the end of the day, it goes down to him and his family to make a decision.
Mm-hmm.
And goes to next week, I'm going to back on the field. Obviously, it's nice to play again, especially to be a curtain raiser for the big game, to see what Kaizer Chiefs is having for us for the upcoming season. It's going to be interesting for me.
And please ask Thabo Moki for the shirt, man. I need this shirt.
You can ask him yourself. That's how we wrap up the Arena Sports Show. Thank you so much for joining us. We do it again next week. Cheers. Goodbye.
Good clip. Bye.
Mm-hmm. No, thank you.
Yes, good clip. Bye.